are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. John Tabas is our guest today. How are you, John?
Great. Thanks so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and you brought flowers in. I like that.
Of course.
There's a reason he did. He's the owner and founder and CEO of the Books Company. Now, Books it means bouquet.
Right. It's bouquet, but simplified.
Right. And some say Books, right? Like bouquet.
Yeah, some would say bouquet or
Books. What do you say?
I say Books.
You do?
I'm a Books.com guy all the way.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's Books, and they organize flowers and cut the time and the red tape of getting a flower from a farm and into your house, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the traditional supply chain in flowers is very long, convoluted, sort of needlessly complex.
I was amazed.
Yeah, you have, you know, 90% of flowers sold in the U.S. coming out of Ecuador and Colombia. Those farms are selling to exporters within those countries who are then selling to importers in Miami largely. Those importers are selling to wholesalers who are moving around the country, who are selling to florists who are getting their orders from 1-800-Flowers and FCD. And so you end up with multiple layers, and everyone along the line is taking margin, which means it's just more expensive for you. They're taking time because they have to transport it from one player to the other, and all of these things just result in higher prices with less freshness. Right. So we set out to try to fix that.
Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
No. You know, I always wanted to... I think careers are interesting things. I didn't always have a thing I always wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. My career has evolved over time. I moved out to L.A. to work in media and entertainment. I was sort of a very, very, very amateur filmmaker when I was in high school and stuff. So I love storytelling, right?
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And I thought, hey, I'll go out there and get into that. And I worked for Disney for a while. And what I found was I had this excitement and this interest in building something new. I worked a lot in brand strategy, so I wanted to build a brand. And I had some friends who had started companies, and I started talking to them about that. And I thought, hey, I just need the right idea, sort of the right opportunity. And it turns out that one of my best friends grew up on a rose farm in Ecuador, and he had built this supply chain that we use today. And we started talking about it. We said, hey, let's start a company around this thing.
You got to be a lifer to move up in that company, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's certainly some folks that buck the trend, but largely speaking, it's a place where it's so massive that you have to work your way up, and it takes time.
Yeah.
And I'm just not that patient of a person, but I loved my time there. I loved the people I worked with, and I would go back there in a second if I got a chance to run something.
Yeah, exactly. What was your first job?
First job was at Bain & Company. I graduated from Notre Dame.
It's not a bad first job.
Wasn't bad. No, it was great. I worked on, you know, really big, important cases for really, you know, big Fortune 50 companies. Learned a lot. Met my best friends there. A lot of people meet their best friends in high school or college.
Right.
I met my best friends at Bain.
Did you work on any Mitt Romney stuff?
I did not. No connection with Mitt during my time
That's
there.
Kind of a joke anyway. So you've been around. I mean, you contribute to Fast Company, Forbes, all that. So how did you know you could do all this? Forget about Books for now.
Yeah. Just sort of making things happen, you mean?
Yeah.
I was at Disney. I remember I had this really great long conversation with my father-in-law who, when I decided to quit a corporate job and go try to do my own thing.
Which is a scary thing, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I had a baby.
Insurance?
Yeah, I had a 9-month-old baby. Right. I just bought a house in Venice, which wasn't cheap. My wife worked in education, so it's not like, you know, we were rolling in cash flow.
Right.
And so, you know, what he asked me about this thing. I was like, hey, like, this is a risky thing you're choosing to do. And I had this great conversation with a friend and mentor of mine, Andy Dunn, who started Bonobos, which is a pants and men's clothing company in New York City. And he had this great advice for me, which was, how risky really is it? Like, let's say it takes you 6 months to figure out whether it's going to work or not. If you give up 100% of your salary for 6 months, over the course of your lifetime, what percentage of your earnings did you just give up? He's like, what is it, 0.5%, 0.25%?
Right.
It's nothing. It's a rounding error.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's kind of amazing. He's like, and on the upside, when you think of it as an option, your upside is crazy. And the learning that you'll get, even if it does completely fail, will be amazing. You'll learn to love it and you want to keep trying it, or you'll learn you're terrible at it, you're great at it, whatever it might be. So he talked me into this idea that starting a company and sort of risking the short term isn't really that much of a risk. And once I got that and I felt it, it didn't feel like it was that big of a deal.
It balances out
at
some point, yeah. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. John runs the Books Company. Books sounds funny when you don't say bouquet.
Yeah.
But then when you know it's a short term for bouquet,
it starts to make sense.
Yeah. What'd you study in college?
I was a finance undergrad.
Oh, God.
Yeah. People ask, you know, young people ask me, how did you figure out what you want to do and stuff? And how did you decide your major? And I'm an ROI guy. I was like, what's the easiest major for the most money average starting salary out of college?
Right.
That was my entire decision-making process.
I think most people tried that route.
It didn't really work out.
Yeah. And like, you know what I got on my SATs? Same as the guy next to me.
Right.
That's the kind of student I was.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it was sort of one of those things where, you know, I picked something. I actually enjoyed it. I think it gave me a really good foundation. But in the course of my career, the amount of finance I've done has been very little. At Bain, we did sort of just problem solving. And then I went into advertising, where it was all about building brands. I worked for Gerber Baby, which did almost no finance work, except for budgeting, maybe. And then at Disney, where I worked on brand strategy stuff, and now running my own company, I certainly am involved in the finance aspect.
Right.
But it was a really great start, and I love Notre Dame, so can't complain.
One of the greatest fight songs ever, right?
The greatest by
one of
by a long time.
You have like 40. How many people work for you?
Just about 50.
Yeah. How do you balance your life and work?
For the last couple of years, there's not been a lot of balance, to be very brutally honest about it. It's been pretty much company, company, company. We're at a stage now where I'm able to start stepping back and hiring really experienced people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for when we started the company, there's four of us. I had a technologist, which I couldn't do any of that. I had a marketing intern, and I had my co-founder down in Ecuador, and that was the whole company. At that point, I literally did everything except for building the technology, sourcing flowers, and doing the marketing. So
and
I had to
do. You still have your fingernails and you have bags under your ass. Yeah, you're still there.
So, you know, during those years, those formative years, it's a nonstop, ever-going, nonstop grind. I mean, literally 24/7. I mean, there was one Valentine's Day where I personally did all the customer service for thousands of customers. It was our first one where we had kind of any kind of scale, and we didn't even have a customer service representative. My mom was our only part-time customer service representative, retired at 72, came back. I brought her back from retirement to come in and do some customer service.
Most of those flowers went to me. That's my birthday. Valentine's Day is my birthday,
That's awesome.
So if you're dating me on Valentine's Day, you are screwed.
Right.
You don't get anything. I get all of it.
But you know, lately now I've been able to hire a chief marketing officer, came from a great company called Revolve down here in Orange County. We've hired a chief technology officer. I'm hiring some more experienced folks. So it's becoming more normal. We had twin babies about a year and a half ago, our second and third on the same day, which wasn't expected. And so it sort of forced me to try to figure out a way where I didn't have to constantly be with the company. So it's starting to get more balanced.
Yeah. So you're surprise twins?
I think they're almost always surprised, right?
Triplets is a surprise.
That's a big surprise. we were not expecting it, but it's been awesome. It's really cool because they have like built-in playmates. Yeah, put them in a room and they have a great time together.
What fear is involved in starting up?
You know, the thing
fear is all made up to me, but go ahead.
Completely true. I completely agree with it, but it's real in our psyche.
It's real,
right,
in your
every
head,
day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, my biggest fear for a while, and I think this is part of just how I grew up too, was the fear that the failure of this would mean that I am a failure. And as you get, you know, in the first 6 months, you don't have a huge attachment to it because it's so new. But once you get past a couple months into this thing, it becomes part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this doesn't work, that means you don't work.
Right.
And, you know, that has
I'll never work again and all this.
Yeah,
stuff.
You're a complete failure. And
it builds.
Yeah.
I call them ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah. And there are moments where you literally think it's not going to work. It's all wrong. I'm terrible. The company's terrible. Right. And you know, other advice I've gotten from friends who do these things and have done them before me is, you know, the lows are never really real. You're artificially making it way worse than it is because you're so invested in it. And the highs really aren't that great either. You just are super excited because it's a great time. And so you got to try to find a way through this roller coaster to try to even things out a little bit.
What's the company culture?
We all work in the same place, except for my co-founder who's in Ecuador. So he's got a team of six in Quito, Ecuador, on this volcano where most of our flowers are grown.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a team of 45, 50 here in Venice. And we're all in one building. It's starting to get a little tight. We're starting to look for some new space.
And how's that working out?
It's great. I mean, we're running out of room. You know, we don't have enough bathrooms, we don't have enough meeting rooms, those types of things, but it's a really great group of people. We focus on two main things when we hire and when we bring people into the company. The first is really good people. And we call that being careful, CARE-FULL. It literally means being full of care with everything you do.
Good.
You care about the work that you do and about the people you work with. Good. So we don't have yellers, we don't have screamers, we don't have egos. We have really good people.
Right.
And then the second one, which is somewhat on the opposite end of the spectrum, is we look for people who are really hungry, people that are type A and driven and really want to change the world. That's not an easy combination to find.
How do you find those people?
It isn't easy.
You can't put it on your resume.
Right.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, we do our best to screen for it and to have conversations. We do a lot of interviewing before we hire folks. But really, it ends up being trial by fire. Mm-hmm. And people come into any startup environment, and they often either thrive right away or flame out pretty quickly. We have a relatively high hit rate, 70-80% hit rate of being right, but it's not a perfect science.
We come back and actually talk about flowers, okay?
Okay.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien, back in a minute.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome back to Business Rockstar. John Tabas is here, founder and CEO of the Books Company. Books meaning bouquet, right?
Yeah, Books is bouquet shortened.
And we're going to talk about flowers. This is, of course, a good flower month for roses. If you can afford them, why are roses so expensive? Well, because of demand, right? But
well, I mean, at Valentine's Day,
they go from like $2 to $100.
Yeah, Valentine's Day goes crazy, right? But the biggest reason why flowers in general are expensive, especially when you're gifting online, is the multiple layers of markup that they go through.
Let's talk about that, because I was amazed at how many layers.
Yeah, so
you have little guys.
The farmers growing them largely in South America. We do have great farming here in California as well, but the majority of flowers sold in the U.S. come out of South America. They're selling the product and marking it up. Then you have exporters selling to importers in the U.S., both marking it up. And then you have wholesalers marking it up again, a local florist marking it up, and then 100 Flowers or FTD, the large sort of order gathering companies marking them up. And so at the end consumer is just getting hit over and over and over again. And so all you see is that end price. So you'll look at Valentine's Day, a dozen roses, you're talking about $100 plus if it's red.
Easy. Yeah.
And, we'll do the exact same product about a week and a half fresher, and we'll do it for $40. And if you want two dozen roses, it's $55. You got to order a little bit in advance.
Right.
But you're talking about literally half of the price of what you'd see in the market.
Let me write down an address for you, because I'm going to order mine right now.
Absolutely. We'll hook it up.
I was amazed at how many stops there are. And they're usually fresh, right?
Yeah. I mean, the time it takes from the farm to get to the end consumer can be anywhere from 10 days to 14 days. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes up to 15 or 16 days. And flowers only last somewhere between 17 and 20 days. And so people are often surprised to say, like, why did my arrangement only last 2 days?
Right.
And the end answer is that was a perfectly good quality flower 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. The problem is just how long it took to get to you. And so what we see when people come to us is they're spending less money outright. Right? They're spending $40 or $50 instead of $80 to $100.
Right.
And they're getting 10 or 15 days of enjoyment out of it. So your price per day is $4 or $5 of a day of enjoyment of a bouquet. Whereas in some other places you spend $80, $90, you get 2 days, you're spending $45 per day. And so the price value perception that people have around flowers isn't really great, because who wants to enjoy something for 2 days that they spend $80, $90 on?
Unless the farm is in your area, right? Or no?
Even then, I mean, you can get lucky.
There's a process.
But that long supply chain process is pretty standard, and that's generally what you're going to get. With us, when you place an order, we're literally, when you come to our site, you're not looking at our inventory because we don't hold any. We are a technology and a marketing company connected to these amazing growers internationally, growers that respect the environment, they're third-party certified to be sustainable farmed, and they respect their labor. They're third party certified to treat their labor well. And we just do deals with these folks, and we connect you on our website to those end producers of the product. And so they cut that product, they prep it, and they ship it directly to you. Those flowers will arrive 1 to 3 or 4 days after they were cut instead of that 10 to 14 days in the tradition.
How'd you figure that out?
Which part?
This process.
Oh, really, it started with my co-founder. So, you know, this started from the farmer's perspective, which was, how can I get paid more quickly and how can I get a fair margin? Mm-hmm. It's a really tough business, especially folks that invest in their people and in their processes to protect the environment. It's a really narrow margin business. And he was trying to find a way to make it better. So he started selling directly from Ecuador to florists around the country. He saw that he got paid more quickly. He got paid better terms. And so that's where it started. And he reached out to me because I'm a brand guy, right? Disney trained and all that kind of stuff. He said, hey, I'm doing sales and marketing and service, and I'm a biochemist. I don't think this is what I should be doing. Could you help me think about it?
Right.
And I had recently left Disney to go to another great startup here in town called ShoeDazzle.com, which mm-hmm. Brian Lee founded. And we started talking about this problem, and eventually we said, hey, let's start a business from this.
It's Books.com, right? B-O-U-Q-S.com.
Yep, Books.com.
What's on that website?
So you'll find a couple different shopping options. You know, you can shop in lots of different ways, by price, by speed of delivery, by origin of country, by the occasion that you're looking for. And so we typically have 120 to 130 bouquets available, small, medium, and large. You know, in a small, you get 1 dozen roses or the equivalent, like this. Mm-hmm. Medium is $15 more, and it's double the flowers. And then large is triple the flowers for another $15.
Few men out there. So if the longer you wait for Valentine's Day,
the more you're going to pay.
The more you're going to pay, right?
Absolutely. With us,
I've seen them at $120 a dozen.
Easily. Yeah, you order a dozen red roses today from us, you're going to spend $40. And if you use the BizRock code we have for your listeners, BIZROCK, you'll get 15% off of that. So now you're spending less than $36 to get a dozen roses delivered. There's no delivery charges either for Valentine's Day.
And 10% of that money goes to me.
And if you order on February 13th from somebody else, I guarantee you it's over $100.
They're flowers.
Yep. The second thing you can do with us, if you look on our website, is you can set up a subscription. Mm-hmm. And we have three different sort of flavors of that. One is a traditional subscription. A lot of people use this as a gift, right? So once every other week, once a month, you set up your mom, your loved one, your friend, whoever it might be, and flowers show up on the regular. That's sort of the most standard subscription we have.
Such a great service.
And people love it. Yeah. You know, people love it for their homes. They love it to gift. The other two are sort of spins on a subscription. One is called Special Occasions. And it's for the sort of forgetful folks who just are always last minute, and they always end up getting gouged on the price.
Right.
You know, you call the day of.
Well, not forgetful. Some people are busy.
Well, yeah, life gets in the way. And so this way, you set it all up ahead of time, and you lock in our best prices at increasing discounts. So if you do 12 deliveries or more per year, you're down to $30 a delivery, all-inclusive free delivery. And it's just about setting up. Okay, it's this person's birthday. It's this person's anniversary. Right. You preset it, forget it. It's all taken care
of. Boy, that is awesome.
My favorite one is called Just Because, and this is random. So I created this for me. So I got married 9 years ago, but when we started the company, we were 5 years into our marriage. And when we got married, I had this vision of myself, largely informed by my dad, who's a super old school romantic guy, that I would be this husband who would surprise his wife with flowers all the time. And in 5 years of marriage, when we started the company, I had done it precisely twice. So once every 2.5 years, and think about this. I had this vision of myself as this person, yet it didn't come through. And why? Just like you said, life, people are busy. You forget, right? So I created Just Because for me. And this is a tool where you just say the number of times a year you want to surprise somebody, and it takes care of it. It has an algorithm that will randomly spit out orders. And if you say 6 times a year, it won't be every other month.
But that is, I'm not advertising. But that is a great idea.
It's pretty awesome.
For you busy people out
there. Might get flowers once, and then 2 weeks later you might get it once, and then it might go 2 months and you won't get any.
Right.
And so it's you're getting that random surprise factor, but you don't have to do any work. You just say, I want to do it 6 times a year or 8 times a year or 4 times a year.
What's panic day in the flower business?
Panic day?
The day before Valentine's Day, the day before
Mother's Day. Those are the two.
Easter.
Yeah. The day before the day of Mother's Day and Valentine's Day are the two biggest.
I'm not saying you don't panic. I'm not saying you're panicking. You see a spike?
Yeah, so, you know, general retail, it's all about Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas is like this huge spike.
Right.
What's cool about our business is we get 3 spikes. We get Christmas, which is a pretty good spike, lots of people buying flowers. Mm. And then you get Valentine's Day, which is more than double the size of Christmas. And then you have Mother's Day, which is more than double the size of Valentine's Day. And a lot of people think of Valentine's Day, especially men, as the biggest date, but not everybody has a loved one to send flowers to. Everybody's got a mom.
Right.
And so Mother's Day is the grand slam, the home run, the big date for us. It's our Super Bowl. And so that is the biggest the biggest day of the year. So that's the one that we really focus on. Valentine's Day is a close second.
When people buy flowers, what should they look for?
There's different flavors, right? So if you order flowers from us from South America, that is coming fresh cut in a box. So there's a little bit of a DIY experience to that.
Right.
Some people love that and some people don't. So you want to know whether you're ordering something that's a little bit do-it-yourself or that is fully finished. We actually launched about a year ago a local florist network to do on-demand delivery, fully deranged in a vase for those folks that, you know, want it either faster or that really don't want to do the work. And it's not a lot of work and a lot of people love it, but some people just don't want to touch it.
No, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
This is sponsored by Bank of America. According to the American Cleaning Institute, 76% of Americans participate in spring cleaning every year. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive John Sellers outlines tips and tools that can help you clean up your finances to maximize financial rewards.
Spring cleaning is all about hitting the refresh button, and that includes refreshing your spending and finances to maximize rewards. Try to stick with your favorite brands to accumulate maximum benefits through their rewards programs. Additionally, consider consolidating your savings and investment accounts down to one financial institution. This will simplify your banking, and the balance of your consolidated accounts may also qualify you for a program like Bank of America Preferred Rewards. Our Preferred Rewards members enjoy great benefits, including credit card rewards bonuses of up to 75%, home and auto loan discounts, no fees on select banking services, and more. And as a member's qualifying balances grow with Bank of America, so does their preferred rewards benefits.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason. She's always got somebody great. Alex?
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And today's rockstar, Roger Saffold, owner of Rise Nation. And of course, you probably recognize him from the Los Angeles Rams. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm sure football was a part of your life for a long, long time, probably your entire life. What about entrepreneurship? When did that enter your life?
I didn't really know much about it until I started getting into high school. Then I just started to tell myself, like, hey, I want to have my own company as well, especially like when I started going to school in college. You know, I really wanted to be my own boss. So, I learned through playing football that you want to invest in things that you're passionate about. And next thing you know, I ended up starting my own company, turn it into an LLC, and then watch it grow.
That's amazing. And I'm sure a lot of times people who become professional football players, they're one, you know, track mind. They're just like, I'm going to become a professional football player and that is it. But you always had this other dream in the background, right?
Right, exactly. And I think it's just because, you know, I've been warned by so many people about how short, you know, that your NFL career can be. So even though I know that was my main goal, and I mean, my main goal since I was 9 years old was to play. So, you know, knowing that it's not going to be for long, I just knew that I had to do something else. And why not do something that you're happy to do, that you love to do, and that, you know, you can pretty much control yourself.
Yeah. So how did you educate yourself on entrepreneurship so you could be successful so early on?
Well, the best thing I think that you learn from is experiences. And sometimes when you learn through experience, it's basically through failures. So I continue to self-check myself. And then, you know, we just continued to improve as we went along. And then next thing you know, things started to take off in a real productive way. And now it's just a point of riding the wave and to continue to grow.
So give me an example of one of those failures that you had to overcome early on in entrepreneurship.
Oh, man. Well, in my field, you know, it was more about just, you know, being able to manage the team that I had. And we got to the point where we lost some of our players because we didn't really know how we kind of phased against people out there. So just being able to do research and checking our resources, we were able to kind of find out what they were looking for and what they needed. And then we would give them an option that was so good they couldn't leave us alone. plus just our overall, you know, makeup of just how we conduct ourselves. You know, my business is more like a family. So, you know, we play with these guys, you know, these guys hang out with us. They've, you know, we've gone over to their houses for dinner and those types of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're pretty much all well connected now.
Yeah. So was Rise Nation your first business or did you have other businesses beforehand?
I would say that Rise Nation was my first business. You know, along the same lines, I had my, you know, my independent record label, which is what I was pretty much constructing. But I think that my finished product of Rise Nation started before the independent record label. And the between, you know, the technology and the music business, those are completely two different things and it's two different animals.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your strength as an entrepreneur?
I think it's just, you know, everybody looks up to me because I'm a role model already through mm-hmm. playing football and those types of things. So I think that there's a lot of meaning behind my voice and people understand, you know, through the power of my voice, but I'm trying to get things done. Plus just the intangibles, you know, character, leadership. Those things always come into play when these kids talk to me because, you know, usually for the type of games that we pretty much run, they're around 18 to 24, mm-hmm. you know, is usually
yeah,
the
so
age that they're around.
Look up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you kind of have to lead them and actually, you know, kind of help them grow up.
Yeah. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Roger Saffold, owner of Rise Nation, player for Los Angeles Rams. So glad you're here.
Thank you.
So what other ways has being an athlete helped you as an entrepreneur?
Just the fact that, you know, through playing football, I understand, you know, finances, you know, investing in the future, stocks, just bunch of like business managerial things that help me be a better leader and help me be a better business owner.
Mm-hmm. What's one of the obstacles that you've had to overcome as your business has grown?
Just the fact that times change, the games change. Like, for instance, for Call of Duty, it's never the same game every year. Mm-hmm. Like some of these other different games like League of Legends, CSGO, they've been the same game for, you know, 10 years. But for us, it changes every year. So, you know, the same skill set that would work in one game doesn't work in the other. So you're going to have to be able to get ready for those times to change. So even though that we love to, you know, stay connected with our players because, like we said, we've gotten to know them. They've gotten to know us, and they're really comfortable where they are. Because time changed, sometimes you have to change rosters. Different, you know, teams end up being prosperous in the certain games. So it's like a chess match every year.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. What is the barrier of entry to even getting in that industry? How do you get into it?
Well, luckily, when I started this, I was doing a lot of streaming on Twitch. And Twitch is like the main game streaming, you know, kind of internet where people can, you know, really connect with you and chat with you and those types of things. And when I got into this, I was able to start from scratch without needing a lot of money. Once we started getting into, you know, more of the pro circuit things, it started to cost a little bit more money, travel, hotel, like those types of things. And then eventually we were just able to set it up, you know, from scratch. And then when things started getting expensive and people started trying to get involved, sometimes it was already too late.
Hmm. Now, I'm sure you are so busy, especially during football season. So how do you manage all of your time?
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, I wouldn't be able to run my business without, you know, my friend and co-founder, Kareem Horsley. He basically does all the day-to-day while I'm in season. And then in the off-season, like now, we kind of just share the workload. Everybody knows that, you know, I've paid for this out of pocket myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they try to take as much pressure off me during the season so I can continue to make the money that I make from doing the job that I do, which I feel is excellent. And that's why I'm still here.
Yeah. Obviously, in order to hand over your business, though, you have to really trust these people. So mm-hmm. how did you find people that you trust to work with?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I've known this guy for years,
yeah.
You know, about 12 years. And, you know, we were actually playing together. He used to be a pro player as well. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go on to the management side. I told him, perfect. that's awesome. We already were in the pro circle, yeah. You know, because it's basically just a circle of a bunch of different guys, you know, kind of trying to figure out the best formula to win. And, you know, these cash prizes are huge. So when it came to him, I thought it was just perfect to bring him in. And then once again, just learning experience, being able to understand, hey, I've really got to focus on this. You handle the day to day. If you have any problems, you get in touch with me. And it's been a working formula ever since.
Wow. Yeah. So when you are able to focus more on Rise Nation during off seasons, what are some of the tools that you use to stay organized and on top of things?
I do everything, you know, from my computer. I make sure that, you know, everything is pretty much taken care of as far as salaries, you know, just any types of hiccups or fires that I have to put out, you know, I pretty much handle. And I just make sure that everybody is where they need to be every single month, because we have more than one team now. We're a true organization. We have a few different teams, and we have teams that are ready to also join. So, you know, my business has grown exponentially, and we're going to continue to need more help because we are fairly new.
So you get to manage people and make sure that they're on track and doing a good job.
Yes.
So how many employees do you have?
Geez.
Roughly.
Okay. Well, we have you know, myself and my co-owner, that's two. We have our design team, which is about five guys. Our marketing team has to be about three. And sometimes we use outsourcing for internships,
yeah,
as well as we use some of our sponsorships. Like our sponsorship guys usually want to bring somebody in to kind of help out with that, you know, and that's when our marketing and our design team kind of work together to be able to put things out on Twitter and Instagram so that people continue to buy, you know, G Fuel, Control Freak, Scuff, Astro, Arma Centrum, like all these guys.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing what you can do. You know, what's cool is that we can also take the guys that, you know, maybe are too old for the game anymore, like are just done playing. Sometimes they just want just an opportunity to just join the team and be able to work for us. So we have some editors as well for some content that we put out on Facebook and on websites and those types of things. And we're currently working on partnerships that are going to just explode this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're a busy guy, so a lot of times you're entrusting other people to execute. So how do you hire the right people? And do you have a hand in the hiring process?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Always. We never just bring anybody on without, you know, me knowing. When it comes to, you know, our video guys, our picture guys that go to these events and actually take all the photos. So we have a lot of content. You know, I need to know everything that's going on at that point. So even during the season, if we got anybody that we're talking to, you know, I need to make sure that I know who they are. And the cool thing is that usually the people that join the team, we've kind of done business with before. So at this point, you know, when you're working with somebody for 5 years and they want to join the team and work with you, you have a little bit of trust with them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Lastly, what is your number one piece of advice for an aspiring or new entrepreneur?
You know, trust your gut. A lot of times, you know, we want to start something and then we overthink it and then we become flustered and then it ends up just spiraling out of control. Just trust your gut, you know, do what you can for your business and just watch it thrive.
Awesome. Thank you so much to my guest, Roger Saffold. He is the owner of Rise Nation, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
As a new entrepreneur, you can and should learn from the mistakes of others. If you want to become a successful entrepreneur, stop doing these things you may already be doing. Hi, folks. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, stop looking too far ahead. Instead, focus on the present. Set goals that you and your team can reach by the end of the week, month, and quarter. Number two, stop involving yourself in every project. When your business is still small, it might make sense for you to be involved in every project and decision that needs to be made. But as it grows, you need to be able to let go of the reins every so often. As an entrepreneur, you need to be able to delegate. Number three, stop sweating the competition. Don't fear the competition. Pay attention to them and learn from them. But don't waste time worrying about them. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
It's like slipping on a pair of prescription glasses for the first time, as everything becomes super crisp and clear. That's what going from 4K to 8K is all about, with Samsung's new TVs. And behind it all is something called quantum dot technology. Scott Cohen from Samsung explains.
So, you know, when we're talking about QLED with Samsung, we are talking about a technology called quantum dot. And the reason Samsung has made these advancements in quantum dot and applied them to our TV has to do with color accuracy and color brightness. So when we think of a Samsung QLED, first and foremost, that's Samsung's flagship line of TVs. That's the best TVs we make. It's based on quantum dot because using the technology of quantum dot, we can get the full color spectrum accurate in any brightness condition.
More info is at Samsung.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
How does health impact your success more than you may think? Joining us is Kat Secor. She's a health expert and an IFBB pro bodybuilder. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Mark.
So how does it impact our success more than we may think? Because I think health is one of those most important things, but you're the expert. Tell us.
Exactly. So often I coach and talk about my three main principles, and that's knowledge, precision, and commitment. And people have to have all three if they want to be successfully healthy long term.
Okay.
So when you break down knowledge, that's going to be, do you have the right resources? Are you educated in how to train at the gym, educated on what foods to eat, why to eat them, and when to eat them? And then we also have knowledge in a different way, which comes to maybe training your brain. Which comes to maybe you need a little psychological help. You need to go see a shrink or a life coach.
Yeah.
We also have precision. That is detailed eating. It's working out with intention.
Okay.
And then commitment. Why are you doing this? Are you interested or are you committed? Are you just going to do it when it's convenient? Or are you committed and going to do whatever it takes to achieving your goals?
One of my mentors told me the difference in being interested and committed is if you're interested, you'll do whatever it takes when it's convenient. But if you're committed, you'll do whatever it takes right now and forever. And so how that relates to health is so true because so many people are like interested in getting their health.
Oh,
and
sure.
As a result, they're often just interested in being more successful. But when you commit to your health, that's one thing in your life you have absolute control over.
Totally.
And when you conquer that, I think that gives you the confidence and the certainty to go out and conquer your success in business or your career. Do you agree?
I completely agree. Okay. And I see so many people who are just interested, and that's why you get yo-yo dieting. Nothing sticks. People are constantly losing 10 pounds and gaining 5 right back.
Okay. It doesn't work. I tried it, everything.
They say, I've tried everything. Really? Yeah. Well, how committed were you?
Yeah.
Did you seek out the right knowledge?
Did you get the
result?
Were
you precise?
Yeah.
How committed were you?
And yeah, I went
exactly
to the gym every day, but what kind of effort and intensity? And were you doing it right? And did you have a trainer or an accountability partner?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, what is it, the old saying, it's not how much work you did, but it's the effort within the work.
Completely.
A lot of people in business, they work 12-hour days, but they're not doing the highest income and impact activities. And I think a lot of people are trying to be healthy, trying to cut out bad things, trying to go to the gym consistently, but they're not doing it right. And that goes to your first thing, the knowledge. How important is accountability, though? Because I think that I've talked to a lot of different health experts before, and they say, even if you give somebody the recipe and the formula to work out right and eat right. Accountability is one of the most important things. You provide that in your coaching and in your programs and at your type of events and the things that you speak at. How important is accountability?
Accountability is very important, but I don't believe it is the
thing.
Holy grail.
Okay.
Often too many people are dependent on someone else and will blame their failure on that other person.
So it's an excuse to point
a
finger.
It's an excuse to point a finger.
Okay.
I believe that when you invest in yourself, many people are hesitant to invest in a trainer, invest in a life coach, invest in a nutrition coach. Mm. They don't want to spend the money. But yeah, really what you're investing in is in yourself, yeah, and in your long-term happiness, health, changing your mindset. And to me, that's everything. So you have, yeah, to be willing to make that investment in yourself and not defer blame to someone else if you don't achieve that.
It's my parents' fault. Oh, my trainer didn't show up, or my friend just didn't go to the gym, so I didn't go to the gym.
Exactly.
Okay.
I believe there's a quote, I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's something about, you know, you're not a product of your circumstances, you're a product of the decisions you make,
yeah,
out of those circumstances. I'm not sure if you know,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
one.
How does health, though, actually support us in our success? We talked about it. Confidence is one of those things. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, confidence is huge. So if you're not feeling good about yourself, how are you going to go out there and give 100% in your business everyday life?
Yeah.
If you're not confident in a business meeting, if you're insecure of how your shirt's fitting, if you're insecure of how you look when you talk to a new customer that walks through, mm-hmm, your door, for all those young entrepreneurs out there,
yeah,
how are you going to bring your best self forward to them and then sell them on whatever product or service that you have?
Yeah.
You want to feel your best and look your best to perform your best.
Mm. And that's like the old saying, look good, feel good, do good.
Do good.
And if you want to do better, you want to perform better and get better results, whether that's financial, we want that dream relationship, whatever it may be, it all goes back to looking better so you can feel better. And I know that ultimately at the end of the day, I feel better. Like, I probably wouldn't feel as good interviewing the same people that sat in your chair. Billionaires, Damon John, John Astroff, Jamie Foxx, celebrities and ultra successful people, if I was sitting here in a tank top. Because I look better for the show. No, for you, that's great. But for me as the person for the business side,
for
you're
sure,
the health expert. You're supposed to
wear
that.
I'd be like, who are you?
Exactly.
Why are you in here in your tank top?
And I'd be like,
nice biceps. No.
I'd be like, I'm in a tank top. I don't look as the way I should.
Completely.
So I probably wouldn't feel as good and I probably wouldn't do as good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that your success really can be a result of your health. And so I want to know from your perspective, simple things people can do right now if they want to take control of their health. What is it?
My biggest thing, if they want to take control of their health, is to reach out for support. Find the knowledge in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a friend that goes to the gym all the time and you contact her and say, hey, can I tag along for a workout? Or maybe you find us on Facebook, Coach Kat and Dr. Mimi on, okay, Facebook. You see some of our videos and you're wondering, I wonder what they would tell me if I just messaged them. Shoot us a message, ask us, figure, okay, out where to start, and then just take action. It doesn't matter what it is, just take action. Maybe you stop eating processed foods. Instead of going to McDonald's every day and buying a Big Mac and fries, you go to Chipotle or somewhere where you can make a, yeah, healthier option. You get a salad without all the carbs, extra vegetables, lean protein, no salad dressing. You make small tweaks, and eventually they will compound into huge changes.
I know waking up in the morning, what you put in your mind and your body shifts the rest of your day. It can shift your metabolic rate and your metabolism for the rest of the day and ultimately literally lay the foundation. You don't get insulin spikes. What is the best way to wake up? We've talked about this before a little bit. Wake up, drink water, don't go for coffee, but what else?
This is extremely controversial. So, yeah, I'm gonna tell you the way I prefer to wake up best. I like to wake up, I have oatmeal, egg whites, and a huge, maybe 2 glasses of water.
Okay.
And I like to go right to the gym and get my day started before anything else. That is my morning ritual.
Then you're proactive the rest of the day.
Proactive the rest of the day. Okay. There's no time for excuses. I haven't worked all day. Now I'm tired. I don't want to get up off the couch. I don't want to get out of bed after my afternoon nap. Whatever it is, there's no excuses. I woke up early and got it done.
Fantastic. And that's something that helps you be more successful. It's waking up, being proactive, not reactive. Somebody says, I'm inspired by you. I want more tips from you. Where can they follow you?
They can follow us on Facebook directly at Coach Kat and Dr. Mimi.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kat. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.